you're over 30. You might be struggling to get off the couch and get moving, or you might be hitting the gym but unsure what to do. We get it. But you need motivation, and you need to know the steps to take on your journey to fitness and health. You're listening to the 30 Plus Men's Fitness Podcast with your host, Coach Treggs.
Restrict. Lose weight, feel great, then boom, binge. Feel guilty, then start again. Sound familiar? Don't have to say so, but you can just listen in. Listen, I've been that guy. I've seen it around me. I see it a lot. And I want to talk about it tonight. So I shared a picture yesterday of a client, a young lady I'm working with who's 20, who when she found me, she had some weight to lose. And she said, I'm doing the ketogenic diet. Now, ketogenic diet, if you don't know, is high fat, low carb, moderate protein. A lot of people lose weight quickly off it because you cut out carbs. And when you drop carbs, you lose a lot of glycogen, which is stored carbohydrate, and water. Okay, it's like when people eat carbs, you store 3 grams of water for every gram of carbohydrate you ingest. That's why you can feel heavier. So keto is, I know some coaches that like to get their clients on keto for a quick win because you can drop weight fast. And it's like, wee, but it's not real weight. Evening, Lee. So I had this young lady come to me. She had weight to lose in her 20s and she was doing keto. And I said, right, let's get you off that straight away. And it was a bit of a, oh, why? And I said, well, you're a student. You're 20 years old. You know, it's fresh as, do you want to not have any bread or alcohol? Or if you do, do you want to feel like you failed? So I educated her on calories. And look, you can only scroll my personal page. She's lost 17 pounds. We ain't even getting started yet. I think she only had about 12 PT sessions with me, but she's just taken the information and gone with it. So the problem is, look, it's very easy to lose weight when you restrict, okay? Go cut out carbs for a week. Cut out bread, cut out pasta, cut out cereal, anything like that. You're going to drop weight, okay? And you're going to feel probably euphoric. And then come day 4 or 5, you're going to have a bit of brain fog. And you're going to feel like shit and you're going to go, I can't do this. And you're going to crave carbs. And then when you eat them, you're going to binge. Because what happens when you restrict? Here's a really interesting thing. Having a discussion with a client recently who read a book called Brain Over Binge. And there's a great description in that book. You imagine you swim underwater for a period of time. Okay. So you're underwater, you swim underwater, say for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, I don't know, whatever that is. You know, when you come up for air, do you go like this? No, you don't. You take a big fucking gulp of air. Why? Because you haven't taken any for the last 45 seconds to a minute, right? So what happens if you restrict? And then you have one biscuit. Do you stop at one? No, you don't. You binge, okay? So I want you to ask yourself this question, okay? Have you lost the weight that you've wanted to this year? If you have and you're happy, you can turn this video off now. You don't need to listen to me. Well done. But if you feel that you've made no progress this year, you've maybe lost some, gained it, then you might want to tune in, okay? I'm a fan of intermittent fasting. You've got different types of intermittent fasting, 16:8, one meal a day, all that type of thing. And intermittent fasting is great if you can stick to it. Okay. It's a really interesting thing. I'm actually less of a fan of it these days, only because if I look back over the times I've done it, yes, it was easy to stick to for a period of time. But what happened if I went away on holiday? What happened if I upped my training? Could I maintain it? Not always. Now, the problem is, right, and I see this a lot. Let's say people are doing intermittent fasting. You feel euphoric. You feel in control. You're doing one meal a day, whatever it is. You feel so good. I've cracked it. The weight's dropping off. You're feeling lean. And, you know, when you do start doing things like intermittent fasting, after a while, the hunger goes. Your body gets used to it. La, la, la. But then what happens is you might have a holiday, and I've seen this firsthand. You go away, your pattern is broken, and boom. here starts to crash. And I've seen this firsthand with the loved ones. Okay. And it ain't pretty. Okay. Because once you've restricted for a serious period of time, once you have that little taste, those neurotransmitters go off in your brain. Boom. Whoa. You can't stop. It doesn't matter what you tell yourself. It's almost impossible to stop. Let me know if this sounds familiar. Okay. And the rebound can be nasty. I've done intermittent fasting in the past for a sustained period of time. So I got great. I got lean, man. But what happened when I stopped? It was almost as if like I was a little bit out of control for a while. I didn't want to be, but I felt it was. And it went on for a period of time. I haven't really done any intermittent fasting this year, only because I've been training probably harder than I have recently. But I'm the leanest I've been in a long time with no intermittent fasting. Do you want to know how I've done that? Small calorie deficit, playing the long game. No food is banned. There's no guilt associated with food. I don't start on a Monday. If you follow my Instagram stories yesterday, you will see I went drastically over my numbers. Why? A client had sent me some cheese in a lovely hamper for my birthday, and I hadn't gone in the gym on my birthday to get it. By the time I went back in, it was Tuesday. I picked it up. I was feeling rough from the weekend. Last night, I was smashing the cheese and the chutney. Now, in the past, I would have gone, diet screwed. Let's start Monday. Now I just go, okay, let's pull that back today. It's Wednesday. Let's pull it back. Okay. Does that make sense? When you restrict, 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 there's only so long you can do that for. You're a human. We are emotive. We get tired. We get triggered. We have arguments. We get stressed. What happens then? We react quite often with food, with alcohol. If I do IF, the smell of food drives me mental. Everything gets heightened, then I do binge. It's very up and down. I'm a massive, like, I love intermittent fasting. I've been talking about it for 7-8 years. I'm less encouraging of it these days. Here's the thing, and this is great. I was talking to clients about this today, about the whole restriction. If you've got a good relationship with food, intermittent fasting, one meal a day, 16-8, whatever you want to call it, can be really good for you. Let me give you an example. I worked with a guy before who had his own business. And when I told him about intermittent fasting, he went, oh, I kind of do that anyway. I was doing that when I was building my business. I was working long hours and just living off coffee. But I said, yeah, when you were breaking the fast, you're probably eating shit and drinking. He was like, yeah, I wouldn't eat for like a day, but then I'd go and have a few beers and a Chinese or whatever. So well, the key is, you know, is to when you break the fast is to have some nourishing food. And he was like, that's easy. I said, I can do that. He said, I've been fasting without even realizing for years, but just breaking the fast with crap. I said, rock, fine. You do that, break the fast with nutrients and you're going to feel great. And he was like, yeah, no problem. It's not a problem. Quite often he'll do 36-hour, 48-hour fasts. Doesn't have a poor relationship with food. Now, if you've got a poor relationship with food, supporting United is enough stress. Great stuff, Damien. If you've got a poor relationship with food, so how do you know if you've got a poor relationship with food? Well, are you overweight? I don't just mean a few pounds. Are you overweight? Do you battle your weight? Do you feel like you're fucking fighting a lost cause? Are you on the heavier side? You've probably got a bad relationship with food, okay? So when you restrict, this is where the danger is, okay? I knew somebody who was doing the Michael Mosley Fast 800, which is actually it reverses diabetes, okay? It clearly stated at the start of it, and I was like, no, I'm not into this, 800 calories a day, 1,000 calories a day, that's, you don't need to do that. If you've had an eating disorder or you have issues with food, do not do this. That's how fucking dangerous it is. And this was a guy selling the program, okay? And I just want to pass on my knowledge to you because I know what it feels like. You can feel like you've cracked it. And everything is like, wow, I've got so much energy. I'm on fire. I'm lean. And then, but can you stay on it forever? Can you follow it forever? Because sometimes when you have a break, you go on holiday, the kids are off school. Bang. You think, oh, do you know what? I'll have some time off it. It's not a problem. Trying to get back to it can be super hard. Okay, now I'm not talking to you all here. Some of you might find you do it easy. I'm talking to people. This, like I said, the title of this video is Restrict, Restrict, Lose Weight, Feel Great, Binge, Guilt, Start Again. Okay? James says, would you increase calories on training days when running on a deficit? Yes. So, James, quite often the training can put you in a deficit. So here's the thing. When I was training for the Cardiff Half Marathon, I was running about 50K a week. Some days I was having 3,000 calories and I was getting leaner. If I'm going out for a 15K, I'm burning between 800 and 1,000 calories on that run. Add in my NEAT, which is high because I'm a PT. Add in my base metabolic rate. I'm burning a lot of calories. So would you increase calories on training days when running on a deficit? Yes, absolutely, because you're creating more of a deficit through your training. Ryan says, I try not to eat after 8 p.m. as I don't eat breakfast. The next time I eat is my lunch, 12 to 12:30. Perfect. Ryan, like I said, I'm not knocking intermittent fasting. Big fan of it if you can do it. For me, when I was training for the Cardiff Half Marathon, there was no way I was going to do any intermittent fasting. I probably subconsciously do it some days, whereas I just haven't eaten until 12 today, but I don't do it any more consciously. Because right now, all my training is about performance. I'm training for a half marathon. I want to do a marathon next year. I want to do a triathlon. So it's just not for me. Right, where are we? Okay. So the message I kind of want to get across is the long game. The long game. If you got to the end of the year and you had lost 0.5 pounds every week for that entire year, which is fucking easy to do, you would have lost 26 pounds, which is almost 2 stone. Would that be life-changing? I think it would. The problem is people want it quick. They want it quick. They're on the scales every day. Why is it not coming off? Why is it not coming off? I'm restricting. I'm doing one meal. I'm doing intermittent fasting. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Why is it not coming off? It's important to know when you do things like that, that the initial amount of weight that comes off is just stored water anyway. Stored water and glycogen. But I want you to understand is how long can you sustain it? If you want to do one meal a day for the rest of your life, do it. Want to do 2 meals a day for the rest of your life, do it. If you think you can do that. But ask yourself this question when you wake up on a Monday and you go, right, that's it. I'm cutting out X. I'm cutting out Y. I'm cutting out Z. How long did you sustain that for before? Before you crashed and burned. How long did you sustain that for? Ryan, you've done amazing this year. You've also cut out the alcohol, which is awesome. And here's the thing. So many people are in such a rush. There's so many amazing things that happens on the journey. This year, I've dropped about 4 or 5 kilos. I've not been in a rush for that at all. I've maintained for the last couple of months. Last couple of weeks. But the journey's been incredible. I've loved the journey. I've loved being able to get into my medium tees. I've loved being able to wear a vest when I'm running because I feel more confident. I've loved getting quicker on my runs. The journey is so much more enjoyable when you play the long game. And I cannot impress upon you enough, especially, you know, we're coming into Christmas and then New Year, new me, all that jazz. People will start, right, that's it. New Year, that's it. I'm going to do this. No, you're not. I don't mean that in a nasty way. Play the fucking long game. This is a lifestyle. Surely you want to enjoy each day rather than going, fucking just get through today. That's another day of restriction. And then hopefully I'll get on the scales tomorrow. And I'm going to get a massive win. I'll get that tomorrow, yeah. And then it doesn't move. And then the next day, right, that's it. Maybe I ate at the wrong time. What I'll do now is I won't eat until 6 p.m. And then I'll make sure I don't eat anything else. And then you get on the scales the next day and shifted a little bit. What a slog. What a slog. Why not just run a small deficit each day? I always say this to clients. Even if you go to bed in a 200 calorie deficit, it's still a deficit and you don't suffer. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of people are doing intermittent fasting without even realizing it. It's like Ryan said, he'll have his lunch. I could do that quite easily every day, you know, not eat till lunch, but I just choose not to right now because I'm training for performance. But that is a good way of actually creating a deficit, because if you're not hungry in the morning and you don't eat till lunch, then you save yourself some calories, haven't you? But if you're literally starving yourself, not say starving yourself, if you're literally just not eating all day because you're in such a rush to lose the timber, don't get me wrong, you're going to drop weight if you're not eating all day. The problem is what happens after. You may think you're in control, but I've been that guy. I've got to that goal doing extreme restriction, and all of a sudden, boom, you have a holiday, you have a beer, you have some sugar, the wheels come off. And it's all, I've seen it, not just me personally, it's not just happened to me, I've seen it with loved ones firsthand. And then there's the guilt, the anxiety. We beat ourselves up way too much. There are plenty of people out there happy to do that for us. You know, I keep saying this all the time. The long game. It's stressful. It's like Damien said, joking earlier, it's stressful enough supporting a football team, all right, that aren't doing well. It's stressful enough paying the bills, going to work, the hustle and bustle of regular life. Why would you want to put extra stress on yourself by doing extreme diets? There is only so many people with a certain mindset that can do that for so long. But I keep referring back, we're humans, we're emotive. I could give you the best diet in the world and training plan on paper. Whether you're going to follow it is a completely different story. It's why I don't say, here's a meal plan. Who sticks to a meal plan? You stick to a meal plan for maybe 2 or 3 days. And then life takes over. And the problem is with this restrict, this lose weight, this feel great, then binge, is that it's a perpetual cycle. And the more and more we fail, the more and more we're harder on ourselves. And we say, I know what I'm going to do. Next time I'm going to do this. Yeah, I remember having a conversation with a client online at the start of the year who was potentially going to sign up with me. I said, are you getting on? Terrible. He said, but I've got a plan. For the month before I start training with you, I'm going to do 1,000 calories a day and 10,000 steps. And I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I will. I'll show you. Mate, listen, let me just save you the high. You're not going to do it because that's misery. You're a male. 1,000 calories a day is miserable. And you want to throw in 10,000 steps a day into the mix? Okay, then. Okay. If you're sat there every Saturday or Sunday night going, right, this is what I'm going to do this week, and it involves extreme restriction, even though you're failing time and time again, stop. Why do we have to be in such a rush? I've worked with one lady this year, Annie, who's over in Vietnam. She's lost 3 stone. Now, I think that 3 stone, over a course of a year, equates to less than £1 a week. Hope you get some value from this one, guys. It's just a subject very close to my heart. I don't want you to suffer, guys. You know, Christmas is coming, social occasions are to be enjoyed. Just work out your calories. Work out your calories and maintain. Guys, I'm going to love you and leave you. Thank you for joining in. I really hope you get a lot of value from this. If you're struggling and you're in that perpetual cycle, just drop me a message. See if I can help you. But hopefully you've got a lot of insights from this. Some of you guys won't have you. When we talk about issues with food, drop me a message, Carly's. There's ways we can help. We do stuff for the ladies as well. Is you just got to look at your, look at yourself personally, not other people. Like I said, listen, I've been doing this 13 years. I can give somebody a program and they just go, they get it. You know, there's a guy, Andy, who I'm working with, very good friend of mine now. I gave him the tools and he's lost 5 stone. And I said to him, mate, phenomenal. You know, you can see your abs, everything. And he said, the thing is, Tregs, is that I don't have any issues. I don't have any issues with food and I can just follow it. Wonderful. Wouldn't it be great to be like that? Okay. But most people, okay, have got some kind of issues or poor relationship with food. And don't beat yourself up, guys, because it's not your fault. It starts somewhere. Okay. It's like when I studied CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, what I was taught is, look, you're not born an alcoholic. You're not born a gambler. You're not born a food addict. You're not born a binger. These are patterns of behavior that are formed over time. Some people use food as a crutch because they feel unloved. Some people use food as a crutch because they get stressed at work. Some people use food as a crutch because it's something they picked up from a young age from their parents. And if any of this is resonating with you, this is why you should not be restricting. It's not the way, it's not healthy. Okay, guys, listen, I'm going to end up here and I'm going to go down and watch the football with my son. We'll probably come up to bed soon, but we're going to catch a little bit of that. Hope you get some value. If I can help you in any way, slide into the DMs. And yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great evening, guys. Keep trucking.
You've been listening to 30 Plus Men's Fitness. You can find us by searching 30 Plus Men's Fitness on Facebook or by visiting 30plusmensfitness.com. You've taken the first step to getting fit and healthy. We'll see you next time.